Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Shmos HaLashon class learning. We are, it's the 20th of Shvat. Yesterday, the 19th of Shvat, was the Yahrzeit of Daniel Pearl. Do you remember Daniel Pearl? He was kidnapped. He was on assignment in Pakistan, or he was kidnapped, and he was held, and he was murdered. And the last video that he made, I looked it up a little bit yesterday online. Yesterday, 19th Shvat was the year of Daniel Pearl. And one of the last words that he said is, "My mother's Jewish, my father's Jewish, and I am Jewish." And he said in the video, which I didn't see, I found a link to a paragraph his parents had written. He even said in the video, "In Bnei Brak, there's a street named after my grandfather, Chaim Pearl, who helped establish the city." It was from the Jews, and both his parents actually wrote that. So I'm very grateful to the person who sent me an email telling me that it was his yahrzeit. Tehei Zichro Baruch. He was killed al kedush Hashem mamish till his very end, letting everybody know that he was a Jew. We are learning Lidui Nishmas Tzvi Gershom Ben Yoel V'Chana Alav Hashem is Nashem Shad Havanali in the continuous merit of our learning and striving to improve ourselves in the realm of Shmos HaLashon. And also with your permission, as discussed for Fush Tehme for Bracha V'Gayel Bas Racha Geto. So let's begin with the Tefillah Al HaDibur. Please, Ribono Shel Olam, Yihi Ratzon B'fanecha Arachem V'Kanon Shetizekeini Hayam U'V'Chal Yam Lishmar Pi Lishoni Milashon Har Rechilus V'Azaher M'Lidaber Afilo Alish Yachid, Lakosh Kane Akaisa, O Achelek Mechem, Lakosh Kane Milisraim Almidosov Shalkosh Barhu, Vazaharmuli Daber Divre Sheker, Chandufa, Machlokas, Kaas, Gaiva, Onas Dvarim, Halbanas Panim, Leitzanus, Vachal Dibra Asur, Vazakin Shalov Daber, Kim Davar, Hatzarich, Enyane Gufi Vinafshi, Vihu, Kolm Asai, Vidibuai, Lashem Shamayim, Amen, Amen, Halavai. So I want to just begin with something that I saw on the paper this week. And I really cut out, I really wanted to show it to the kids, but there's a line in here, it's about Dibur. This is from the 510s Jewish home, the Jewish home. And there's a sign in a store, good morning, okay? It's called Literally Crazy, and they show a picture of the sign in the store. This is literally the craziest rule ever implemented in a bar. Patrons at the Continental, which is a bar in New York City's East Village, better watch their language. The entry has banned the word literally from its establishment, calling the word the most overused, annoying word in the English language. You know, it's literally the coolest day outside that I ever felt. This is literally the craziest thing I ever did. This is literally the best soup I ever tasted. There's a sign, and it prominently is displayed in the bar, and the owner's warned, and there's a picture of the sign. Say the word literally inside the Continental. You have 5 minutes to finish your drink, and you must leave. If you actually start a sentence with literally, you must leave immediately. Owner Trigger Smith is triggered by that now common phrase. It's not just millennials, he says. You hear newscasters using literally every 3 minutes on the news shows. What's annoying, this is why I'm bringing it to you. What's annoying is people aren't even aware they're saying it. How can you be so unaware of words that are coming out of your mouth every couple of minutes? I thought that was very profound, and I think that it's a big lesson to us, because sometimes we're aware we shouldn't be saying it, and we say it anyway. We shouldn't be saying it, but it's right, it gets the better of us. And sometimes someone might bring something to our attention, and you're like, "I didn't say that. That never happens to you. I didn't say that." Like, yes, you did. I didn't say it. So I think this is, I don't believe it's a Jewish owner. Trigger Smith says, annoying that people aren't even aware. They're saying it. How could you be so unaware of your words? It's coming out of your mouth every couple of minutes. Some have seen the sign and laughed. Others are miffed that they have to watch their mouths as they down their drinks. It's not new to controversy. Once banned, whatever. Okay. Even so, it ends with the bar still has a following. People are literally falling over each other to order drinks. But I thought it had a very good point, because I think it speaks very strongly, or it should speak strongly to us. And it's a big Mosra Haska. How could you be unaware of the things that you're saying? What kind of excuse is that? I didn't realize. What do you mean you didn't realize you were? What do you mean you didn't realize you were saying Onasvar? You didn't realize you were saying Gaiva. You didn't realize you were saying Habanas Parm. You embarrassed somebody else. Leitzanos, you're making fun of somebody. I didn't even realize. I didn't even mean anything bad. How could you not realize? Call Dibra Asur. So it's a... It's funny that they banned it. I don't know how they're going to implement it exactly. But nevertheless, it brings home a strong point. Okay, come. Let's... So we're on page 88. Please, ladies, turn to page 88. Okay? Good morning. This we also have to know. By the way, we're finishing a parak today. Alyssa, we're finishing a parak. Very good. In addition, you have to know that besides with the isra that you are over, page 88, when you speak words that are usher by Torah, besides for that, there's a further bad, there's a further evil that comes from this, kishemidaber achar kach divrei kedusha. Kain gam kain lo yiska adam behen. So now he's going to say there's a bigger problem. It's not just that you're over in Israel. We're going to go soon to this expression, by the way, mishpatim. I love when Hashem arranges that this class coincides with something in the parasha that's directly shayach to our learning. We're going to see it soon in mishpatim. But what the mechaber, the Chavetz Chaim, is saying is besides the fact that you're over this week's parasha, you'll see there's a Isur in this week's parasha to accept Lashon Hara. It's this week's parasha. Okay. There's different Isur. One Isur is not to speak Lashon Hara, and that's in Vayikra Parashas Kedoshim. And in this week's parasha, Perach Av Gimel, we're in Mishpatim now, which is a lot of practical rules. Matan Torah continues in this week's parasha, and a lot of practical rules, a lot of Bein Adam Lechavero, a lot of Halachos, and Chav Gimel Av, there is an Isur to be Mekabel. Not allowed to accept Lashon Hara. So besides the fact that you're over on Isra, there's another problem. And that other problem, he says, Nimshachas Ra Gedola Mizak. Even like, how's it translated? Even big, greater evil evolves from this. And what is that? When you use your mouth, whether you think you're aware of what you're saying or not, when you use it for Devir Kedusha after, there's a problem. What's the problem? Kiyesh miminim misitra acha. The sitra acha is like a Kabbalistic word. It means the dark side or the other side. It's the Yetzer Hara. It's the force of evil. Shatekef kishimidaber dibrim ha'asurim, because as soon as you speak forbidden words, ochazin hadibrim im hatuma hamirachafes alehin. So what happens? The Sitra Achra, the bad side, the other side, the dark side, the Yetzer Hara, the forces of evil that are hovering there, latch onto your words. So it's not just that your words themselves are Asr, but now the Divrei Kedusha. Now you say Kapitel Tehillim. So you know what happens to your words at Tehillim? He's going to quote the Zohar. Now, there's a problem with those words. Because you just had a conversation, whether you were aware or not aware, something negative, whether it was Leitzanus, whether it was Kas, whether it was Gaiva, whether it was Lashon Har, whether it was Rechilis, you spoke to Burim Asrim. Now you want to go be so nice and firm and close to Hashem, so you pick up your Tehillim. So the Sitra Achra, this force of evil, attaches the tumma of the words that you spoke to your divrei kedusha. So imagine your words are floating up to Shemayim, to the Beis Din Shomala, but what comes up very nice inside it says, Ashreish shalolach b'tzasu sha'ay mudarchatim lo'omad. But you yourself went on the path of wicked and sat in the city of scoffers. And it's like ensconced, it's like a bubble. There's a bubble surrounding your words of kedusha. Shem should have rachmim on me, it's in a bubble. What's the bubble? The things that you said not nice. Now it's a quote from the Zohar in Aramaic. I'm skipping the Aramaic because about 10 lines down, you see it says the last word on the line, Uva Ruach, because the Chavetz Chaim, it gives a translation in Hebrew. Sorry, 88. I'm sorry. I'm not going to take the time to read the Aramaic. I did when I was preparing it, but then I realized after that it gives it in Lashon HaKodesh. Does everyone see where I'm up to? About 10 lines from the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wow, mamish 10 lines from the bottom. Mm-hmm. That was Bashar. 10 lines from the bottom. Last word on the line says Uva Ruach. It's after parentheses. This is from the Zohar. It's a translation from the Aramaic into Lashon HaKodesh. Okay? Uva Ruach HaRuach. So in other words, the Chavetz Chaim just told you that your Divrei Kedusha are ensconced by the Tuma. And now he's going to bring you a proof. Uva Ruach HaRuach. Zos tluyim kama kolchos din achim. In this Ruach Ra, in this bad spirit, there are dependent other powerful forces of justice. Shehei mimunim la'achos b'dibur ra ol dibur mitunav. They are appointed to grab on with bad speech, with your inappropriate speech, with your filth. Shemotzi ben adam epiv, all those inappropriate things you say with your mouth. V'acharei kein motzim diburim kedoshim. Afterwards, you want to say holy words. Oy lahem, woe unto you. Oy lechayehem, woe unto their lives. Oy lahem ba'olam haza, it's bad for you, woe unto you in this world. Oy lahem ba'olam haba, woe unto you in the next world. So it's not just that the effect of your words will affect you in the next world, but also in this world, woe unto you, because those divrei kedusha that you spoke are ensconced by the divrei tuma. Mepnei sheruchos hatmeos se'ela notos es hadibra hatameh hahu, because these impure forces, impure spirits, grab on with this impurity of the kasher, motzi ben adam achar kach dibirurim kedoshim, and afterwards, as we explain, when man wants to say holy words, makdimos ruchas hatmelos ha'ela es ha'dibirim hatmeim ha'heim. So makdimos, what goes first? The holy words that you just spoke, or the words of Tuma that you just spoke? The words of Tumar go first. They take precedence. They precede the good words umetamim ladeber hahu hakadosh, and they cause to be impure the holy speech. The aim bein haadam zochebo. Look at this. V'kaviyachal nachlash hakoach hakadosh. Not only will you get tzchusim for those holy words, but it's like weakened. The holy power is weakened from these bad forces that ensconce the good words. Ad kan lashono, until here is the words of the Zohar. So we would that we have halavai, that we would have the chachma and the bina and the das every time we take something bad out of our mouth to contemplate. Not only are we over the Yisurim of the Torah, but we are damaging our powerful positive words with impurity. And it's something that we don't think about. Oh, that's asur, but this is mutter. That's tamei, this is tahar. The tahar is not so tahar if it follows diburim asurim. So that's a big problem. Not only is it a problem for us in this world, it's a problem for us in the next world. So now I'm going to quote something very interesting from here. And this is, I've quoted from him before, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, one of the Rosh Yeshivas Ohio, who I believe is a Baki in the laws of Lashon Hara, his sefer False Facts and True Rumors. And he points out something based on the sources very important in regard to speaking Lashon Hara. The great, and this is where we're going to go into our parasha shortly. The great medieval ethicist, Rabbeinu Yonah of Gerona, he lived in the 1200s, in his major ethical tract, Shari Teshuvah. Okay, so in the famous Shari Teshuvah, he identified two elements in the transgression of Lashon Hara. So we just identify two elements in our sefer. One element is that you speak Lashon Hara and you're over the word, the lav in the Torah, but the other element is that you attach Divrei Tuma to Divrei Kedusha. Now we're going to identify two different elements in the sin of Lashon Hara. Two transgressions. First, the damage and embarrassment caused to one's fellow, which was what we usually associate the sin of Lashon Hara with. But on top of that, the decision to disparage one's fellow. That's from Shara Teshuvah 3:2-16. So that's a different... What do you think that touches upon? There's the damage that you caused. You spoke Lashon Hara about somebody. You spoke Leitzanos to somebody. You mocked somebody in public. You embarrassed someone. You became angry at someone. You caused damage to that person. That's the first sin. What's the other sin? The decision to disparage one's fellows. Where's that level of sin? The decision to cause harm, to mock, to make fun of, to yell at, to become angry at, to speak Balgaiva words. Where is that level of sin? The first level of sin is in the external. Your words caused damage. But this level of sin...
An internal in yourself.
That's right. That's exactly right. What did you say? Say it again.
An internal in yourself.
It's internal. The first element we're identifying here from Shari Teshuvah is the external act of speaking, causing harm to somebody else. The decision, however, to disparage one's fellow is not an external act. Very nice. It's an internal act. It's in the mind and what we would say the heart, even though... It's how you think, and it's how you feel. And that's a precursor. That's the precursor, really, to the sin of actually bringing the words into reality. This formulation appears to isolate, listen to his words, a corruption of character that infects the speaker. You speak evil because something in your character is corrupt. That's the root of the negative sin, independent of the harm inflicted on the subject. This is two different elements here. This is a separate element. Whatever happens to the subject is what happens to the subject. But what about the defect, the corruption of your character, independent of the harm inflicted on the subject? And Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Teshuvah, recognizes both as equal components. So it's not that one is more important than the other. They are both major elements of this transgression. Many authorities, and now Rabbi Feldman quotes the Chafetz Chaim, including the Chafetz Chaim, have discerned this dual theme in the writings of the Rambam. So Maimonides, Rambam, also delineates two different aspects. First, he seems, because he seems, in the chapter of the legal code, addressing the principles of Lashon Lashon Hara, Mishnah Torah, laws of personal development. He defines the prohibition of Lashon Hara twice. Why? First, he says, one who disparages his fellow, you're in violation of the precept of Lashon Hara. In the following paragraph, however, he defines it differently. He says, you will cause harm to man's person or property, cause anguish or frighten him. Lashon Hara, according to the Rambam, therefore incorporates two aspects. The disparaging of others, which is the external act, your speech caused harm to somebody else, and there is indicative of a character defect of the speaker. And then there's the harm inflicted through the derogatory speech, such as the pizza shop that had to close down. So there's the defect in personal character, and there's the harm that the words cause somebody else, and those are not the same thing. Yes?
I think it comes from the speaker has a concern in themselves. Either they feel a lack of self-esteem or something, so by knocking somebody else, they feel better. Something happens, and maybe they wanted that, but they have to prove to themselves that it really wasn't good, so they'll knock it.
It's true.
Look who talks Lashon Hara. The Dolim don't, because the Dolim feel good where they are. Like a person who's happy with what they are, if they hear something, they don't have to like make themselves feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
you know, it's so interesting. One second, because my boys brought home like a few page newspaper supplement on, they brought from Darchei, on Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So it's interesting you're saying that, because I'll just tell you one vignette that I read in there. There was Bizyonos graffiti, Bizyonos written on the outside to his apartment. Because you're talking about, if you feel comfortable with who you are, then you're not affected or bothered by what happens external to you. If you know where you are vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam. So there was Bizyonos written, so one of his, I don't know if it was a Talmud or a family member, an aide, was cleaning up the Bizyonos, so he became very upset. So he said, no, I need the Bizyonos. Don't clean them up. I need them. He said, don't you remember I was in America and I got too much kavod. I need the Bizyonos to balance it out. That was 4 years before. His trip to America that he was referring to was 4 years before, and he wanted the Bizyonos. My point is, that's the other extreme. That's the point where whatever anyone says to you or about you has no effect on you, because you're on such a high madriga of kirvas elokim li tov. You're so close to your bonus shop. You know where you are as an Eved Hashem. It doesn't matter what they say. Okay, you're right. So Rahman Sinai, we're not in such a level. You're right. It comes from a negative feeling associated with oneself. But if I have no negative feeling associated with myself, then I'm not worried external to me. Yeah.
Okay, but so you work on yourself and you work on yourself and you go to shiurim and you work. And I was just having a conversation with someone how they worked on themselves about anger and whatever, but then something triggers, something upsets you, you're a human being. And this person was just having a conversation with me about a situation, and he was so angry that he was angry, you know,
very
because
nice.
He worked on himself.
Very nice.
And he was angry that he was angry. I said, but you're human, and having a conversation with...
No, but that's also a very high level of awareness. That's a high level of awareness, being aware that I feel a certain way, but I'm upset I feel a certain way. At least you know it's a me that's not positive.
And we're discussing about a certain situation, someone, okay, to the mother, let's say, okay, so it was my child, one of my children that was talking to me and I was kind of giving him advice. And I said that to him, and actually he taught me about working on anger and being,
right.
So I said, you're a human being, you're allowed to have it. So I tried to... So that is that Russian, like that's, so we've had conversations, like if you want to vent or have
okay,
a conversation.
You're going to see, it's in the halacha day. So hold your question. You says, Alishan,
okay.
Wait, we're getting to that at the end of class.
You know,
it's
human.
In the halacha day.
Okay,
it's mamish in there. Okay, let's go on, 1 second. So what we're understanding now is that, again, that there's different aspects of Lashon Hara. We just learned in the Sefer, in our Sefer, Kunshus Chovos HaShmira, there is the act of speaking and that you transgress, but there's also the act of ensconcing your words of Kedusha with Tumah. Now we're learning something else based on the Rambam, Shari, Teshuvah, and that is on the Chofetz Chaim, and that is something else. There's two different elements of Lashon Hara. One is whatever damage you cause to the speaker, but there's something that's almost, I would say, more powerfully harmful, because you're harming who? It's an indication there's something wrong with you. You have a character defect. If you could come to this level, not you. A person has a character defect. They could come to this level of speaking Lashon Hara. Some later scholars suggest that this is seen in the Torah itself, these two aspects. For example, the peddler verse, the famous verse in Parashas Kedoshim, Lo Seleich Rachil Ba'amacha, might be addressing the derogation of others, While the injunction against bearing a false or unnecessary report might address the damage inflicted upon the subject. And that is our parsha. So in other words, what they're trying to point out is that there are actually different aspects, these different aspects delineated for us in the Torah. Those say lechachil b'mecha means don't bring out the words which could harm somebody else. Don't bear a false report means watch your character. Don't accept negativity because it shows there's something wrong with you. Okay, so the pasuk says in this week's parasha, very nice when it's this week's parasha, we're in Mishpatim, which is full of laws. Many, many bein adam mechaveiro, the practical application, we got the Torah in Yisro. Matan Torah continues in this week's parasha. Now, it's not so only nice to have the Torah and the fire and the brimstone. What do you have to know? How to apply this to my life? What does it mean for a person living in everyday society? Lo sisa shema shav, says Targum Onklus, lo sikabel shma dishkar. You should understand that lo tikabel shema dishkar. So just change the kus of the Aramaic, deshaker. Right. Lo tikabel shema deshaker. What is it saying? Don't accept.
False.
Well, sheker, false. Don't listen. Shema though is to listen. Deshaker, false. So don't listen to falsehood. So Rashi says lo sisa shema shav. Rashi says you should understand according to Targum Onklus lo tikabel shema dishkar. Don't accept a false report. Shema, don't listen to sheker. Says Rashi in Lashon HaKodesh, Azhara Limekabel Lashon Hara. This is, sometimes we forget that there are two Doraisas. We know that there's the Doraisa not to use our speech to speak negatively. That's oft quoted pasuk, it's very famous, Rashi's Kodosh, and I think I said it three times, this guy, everybody knows that. But there's another Azhara, and that is not to be, and it's a Doraisa, not to be Mekabel Lashon Hara. You're not allowed to listen, says Targum Onklus, Shema Dishkar. Don't listen to a wicked report, and we forgot that that is also deraisa. I have to tell you what the Gemara says. The
Gemara. Something not add. Just when it talks about sheker, that's why people mistakenly may think that lashon hara is just sheker.
Very nice. People think, but it's true. Okay, but it's not correct. But that's what we're spending so much time here learning. That's not correct, especially with halachos. If you're wrong, you have to go to Beis Din. You can't slander people. It has to be according to the right method, you have to go to the Rav, you're right. People make a mistake. But perhaps what Targum Onklus is actually telling you is that any negative speech about somebody else is considered sheker, should be considered sheker. When it comes to the category of negative or derogatory speech about somebody else, you should view it as sheker. You understand? It's a very important nekuda. Anything someone tries to tell you about somebody else, like the Rav says, you want to know Lashon Hara, says the Rav quote, whatever you enjoy speaking about somebody else, that's Lashon Hara. And again, when I say this, I say, use your seichel. It doesn't mean a grandmother hearing about her grandchildren's nachas. It doesn't mean a parent talking to her child about a social problem she's having in school. Use your seichel. Anything you enjoy speaking about somebody else, this is Lashon Hara. So we should always view it as sheker. What does Hani Malchus say? What's the definition of, Hani says the definition of sheker, she has many Torah sources. I'm not going to go through the whole thing right now. Okay, fine. The Gemara says, Ketzer Meraktim Lifnei Kal. So you know, what's the answer? Ketzer Meraktim Lifnei Kal. It's not a trick. What's the answer? It's a song. Kalana v'chasuda. So there's actually mechokus in the Gemara. Okay. Beis Shammai says, Ketzer Meraktim Lifnei Kal. How do you dance for a Kal? How do you compliment a Kal? Beis Shammai says, Kal Kamosha he, however she is. Okay, so Beis Hillel says Kal Na V'Chasuda. Beis Shammai, the stricter, the harsher letter of the law, says, however she is, that's how. So if she's not so pretty, if she's a little overweight, if you don't like her makeup, you didn't like her gang, you should just say whatever it is. That's what you should say. So Beis Hillel says, how could you say that? Beis Hillel says Kal Na V'Chasuda. However she looks, it's her moment. You should say she's not V'Chasuda. She's pleasant, and there's a thread of chesed going through her. So Beis Shammai says, but doesn't the Torah say Midvar Sheker Tirchak? You shouldn't tell her. Lie. So Beis Hillel says, if somebody brings something home from the shuk, from the market, are you going to tell them it's nice? You're going to tell them it's not nice. Of course you're going to tell them it's nice. Not like today where there's 30-day return policy, or maybe 6 months return policy, or in Costco forever return policy. In the days of Chazal, if you brought something home from the market, it was yours. That's it. So Beis Hillel says, if someone brings something home from the market, are you going to tell them it's nice? You're going to tell them it's not nice. They brought it home. What are you going to tell them? It's nice. So Beis Hillel says, so you should say, you shouldn't say however she is, even though it says, you should say, she's not a v'chasuda. Furthermore, you see at the end of Sefer Bereishis, the brothers say to Yosef, father said you should forgive our transgression. After they go up, they bury Yaakov Avinu, they come down to Mitzrayim, they're crying, they fall before Yosef, he says, Atachas Elokim Anochi, he says, I'm not going to do anything to you. And they say, father says you should forgive us, but father never said that. Yaakov never said that. So Rashi says, there's Shina Badavar Mepnei HaShalom. They change the words for the sake of Shalom. So what are we learning? There are times when you're not exactly supposed to tell exactly how it is. So what's Sheker and what's Emes? Hani Malcha says, Sheker is what Hashem doesn't want you to say, and Emes is what Hashem wants you to say. Mm, it's very interesting. Emes is, the Kala is beautiful. Oh, is she objectively beautiful? It should be on the cover of 10 most beautiful people. We are of those. Maybe her gown isn't so in style. Maybe you don't like the color of her flowers. Maybe she is overweight. Maybe she had a bad makeup artist. What should you say? Kala Nev Chasud, is it Emes or Sheker? It's MS. It's MS. What?
We talk about, we use the expression, a little white lie.
Okay, but what we're saying is that we shouldn't even define it as a lie. Hashem wants you to say, Kalna v'chasuda. What the brothers did, Shina Badavar Mipnei Hashem, Shina Badavar, they changed the matter, they changed the speech for the sake of Shalom, so for the sake of Shalom. So it's a very interesting thought to contemplate. So perhaps we can use that to explain this. Lo sekap el shema dishkar. You shouldn't listen to words of sheker, meaning Hashem doesn't want you to hear it. The definition of sheker is something Hashem doesn't want you to say, and something Hashem doesn't want you to do. You think Hashem will be happy if you go to the wedding and you talk about the kal kamosha, like Beis Shammai says? That's what Hashem wants you to do when you go to the wedding? That's a chassis call. That's bringing joy to the Jewish home. Hashem doesn't want you to say that. So now we have a very deep insight. What does it mean, lo sekap el shema dishkar? Don't listen to words of Sheker. Does Hashem want you to listen to those words?
No.
So it doesn't matter if it's true or not true. Who defines true? Isn't that unbelievable? Does Hashem want you to say that? Yeah. Your child made a painting and it's really not so good. It's scribble scrabble. So what are you going to tell the child? What are you going to tell the child? It's very amateur? Is that what you're going to tell the child?
Oh, that is a
remember I quoted from the book, Barbara Bloom's son, a few months ago. Remember, Barbara Bloom's son, I believe his name is Moshe, Zichron Levracha, he was injured in the IDF. He spent 11 years in a very severe state, and he learned to paint with his mouth. Remember, they had an open house of his paintings at a certain art gallery, and the art curator stood up and said how bad the painting was, and his mother said she wanted to that the ground should open up, and then a therapist stood up and said how beautiful it was to make. Is that what Hashem wants you to say? Maybe it's MS. Maybe compared to Van Gogh, the painting is worth 2 cents. That's what Hashem wants you to say. But thank you for bringing up the point about Sheker, because it leads to an important ha'ora. Lo sekabel shema deshkar. Hashem doesn't want you to listen to that. Consider it Sheker, because Hashem doesn't want anyone saying it to you. Hashem doesn't want you listening. What business? You have to be talking with somebody else. Maybe objectively it's true, but in Lashon HaKodesh, Emes and Sheker have different definitions. It's very, very profound. Now I want to tell you what the Gemara says on this pasuk in Mishpatim. Ready? V'amar Rav Sheshes Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. Rav Sheshes said in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. Oh, I'm in Maseches Maklos Chaf Gimel. Call him a saper, Lashon Hara. You know, it's very interesting. Okay, this is very nice. There's a theme of in our class today, and the theme is dual elements of the sin of Lashon Hara. The first dual element we learned at the end of Perek Vav in our Sefer is that it's not just you're over an Isser from the Torah, but your words of Kedusha that you utter after are now ensconced with words of Tumah. The second dual element we learned from Rabbi Daniel Feldman's Sefer, but it's really quoted in Chavetz Chaim, and Shari Tchuva, and the Rambam, Zecher Tzadik L'mevrach, Zchusam Yagin Aleinu, is that there's two different aspects. The two different aspects of Lashon Hara are one, the damage you cause to somebody else, but more than that, almost, the indication of the defective character of the person. The sin begins inside. It means there's something wrong with you. Now we're coming to a third dual aspect, and that's according to the Gemara here. Okay, Makos Chav Gimel. V'amar Rav Sheshes Mishum Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah. Kol Misaper Lashon Hara. V'kol Mekabel Lashon Hara. So now there's two different aspects again. One is to speak, but one is to be Mekabel. Not so Seilech V'chil Ba'mecha V'yikra Yates. And the other one is in our Parsha. Lo Tisa Shei Mashav, which we've been defining according to Rashi, according to Unklus, many insights. So there's another thing that has two aspects. One aspect of Lashon Hara is you can't speak it. The other aspect of Lashon Hara is you can't accept it. Call Misaper Lashon Hara, call Makab Lashon Hara, anyone who speaks Lashon Hara, and anyone who accepts Lashon Hara, they'll call him Maid Edus Sheker, anyone who bears false witness. Remember, in the Tfilah al-Dibur, speaking negatively is not only about Lashon Hara per se, it's also about other forms of forbidden speech. Ra'ui Lahashlicho Lakalavim. What did I just read? Ra'ui, lahashlicho, lakilavim. It's worth out to throw them to the dogs. It's worth out to throw them to the dogs. That's what the Gemara says. How do you know? Because the Pasuk says, Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li, you should be holy people to me. I'm calling for Mishpatim. Ubasar Basada Treif Alo Sochele. You should not eat treif meat. What should he do with treif meat? La Kalav Tashlichun Oso. You should throw to the dogs. The very next words after you should throw to the dogs, literally the very next words in the Torah, Lo Tisa She Mashav. You shouldn't be Makabal Lashon Hara. So the Gemara says, why the juxtaposition of throw to the dogs and you shouldn't accept Lashon Hara? Because it learns about a person himself. Anyone who speaks Lashon Hara and anyone who accepts Lashon is ra'i to throw to the kalavim, as the pasuk says. First, the Gemara quotes lakav tashlichunoso, and then it quotes the very next words: lo tisa shei mashav. You should not listen to a false report or a sheker report, as we've explained sheker. Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch says on this pasuk, on this Gemara. Ready? Rav Hirsch says, speech is the pearl of human nobility. Whoever misuses speech forfeits his human dignity and sinks below the level of animals. I'm going to repeat it. Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch says on this Gemara related to this Parsha this week, this Pasuk, speech is the pearl of human nobility. You want to know if a person's noble? Look at how they talk. Isn't that true? They could be the most regally dressed person. And if they open their mouth and they speak crass speech, negative speech, derogatory, condescending speech, however beautiful their clothing is, you're going to forget about it very quickly because you're going to focus on how they're talking. Speech is the pearl of human nobility. You want to know the true essence of a person? Look at how they talk. It's true, because why? The Rambam and the Chafetz Chaim teach that speech really begins inside. Mm-hmm. Whoever misuses speech, says Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch, forfeits his human dignity and sinks below the level of animals. Lakav tashlichun oso. Who should be thrown to the dogs? Never mind the treif animal that you should throw to the dogs. Who should be thrown to the dogs? The person who is a makabel lashon hara, our pasha, and the person who says the gemara is a mesaper lashon hara. The footnote here says, the Chavetz Chaim cites proof from this pasuk. It is biblically forbidden. It is a deoraisa. Not the Rabbanan, if you want to differentiate. There's a de'oraisa to listen to Lashon Hara, even if you don't intend to accept it as fact. So you can say, oh, I'm not makabel after you listen. No. The Isser is listening in the first place. It's an Isser de'oraisa. The Chavetz Chaim suggests the sages of the Talmud always phrase the prohibition as accepting and not listening. There are circumstances when it's permitted to listen, which is going to touch upon what you just said. Nevertheless, it is an Isser de Oraisa, not only to speak Lashon Hara, but to not listen. He deserves to be thrown to the dogs. I already told you that according to Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch. The Chavetz Chaim explains, one who indulges in Lashon Hara possesses the same characteristics as a dog. Is that how you want to be? I want to make myself into a dog?
No.
Why? Sometimes a dog will bark at a person innocent who's going innocently on his way and frighten him. And this is very true. And sometimes the dog will even cause injury by biting him. Out of the clear blue, a person will be bitten by a dog. Similarly, a speaker of Lashon Hara will malign a person going innocently on his way in life, which may frighten him or may bite him, even do more serious damage. So a dog, I had a relative in town a couple of months ago, and they were outside, and my son's friend brought over a dog, and literally, out of the clear blue, no instigation, no nothing, the dog attacked my relative, and they were bitten. So what's the Chavetz Chaim saying? How do you make yourself like a dog? Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch says you're even lower than a dog. The Gemara says you should be thrown to the dogs. Could you imagine? This is what I want to make of myself. I don't consider the implications when I speak Lashon Hara. I don't consider that my words of Tahara after are ensconced by Tuma, according to the Zohar. I don't consider that not only do I inflict damage upon somebody else, but what does it say about me as a negative person? I don't consider that not only am I not allowed to speak, I'm also not allowed to accept. Do I consider that I make myself a dog, or lower than a dog, or deserve to be thrown to the dogs? So to a person who speaks Lashon Hara, that person is just going innocently on his way. And either he barks and scares the person, or he even inflicts more concrete damage. Thus it is fitting, says the Chavetz Chaim, that the maligner be thrown to the dogs, mida keneged mida. They'll frighten and bite him, which is what you just did spiritually and emotionally and psychologically, to somebody else. The Maharal says a speaker of Lashon Hara is actually worse than a dog. So that is really what Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch says. Why? beautifully. Dogs have been known to exercise discretion against whom they will go on the attack, which is true. A dog might attack someone else, but be loyal to the owner. A dog at least does have some discretion. A speaker of Lashon Hara, however, can come to the point where he will fail to show any discretion. You know, it's true. Sometimes when a person speaks negatively, you think to yourself, if that's how they speak about somebody else, how do they speak about me? You know, they speak about you. Same way they speak about somebody else. So very, very, very powerful. That's the end of what I wanted to tell you of the Gemara. Okay. Mm-hmm. 1 second. Any questions or comments?
It's just interesting also that the dogs in Mitzrayim had discretion. They were able to be quiet.
That's exactly right. That's exactly correct. And that's why the Kav Tashlichun also. Because they didn't sharpen their tongues, and then the pasuk quotes from Yitzchias Mitzrayim, because they didn't attack and bark against the Jews in Mitzrayim, therefore their reward is the treifa. That's exactly right. Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, tnu lo scharo. That's exactly right. So a dog has discretion. A human being who becomes a mesaper and a bala shenhara loses their discretion. They will talk about anybody and everybody. So we spoke about many dual aspects of the sin, and we also spoke about very, very harif related to our parsha. If only we would remember this, that what a sheker, what Hashem doesn't want you to say. Therefore, Targum Onkelos can use the word sheker because it's anything negative about someone else that you are not supposed to say. Does Hashem want you to say the kal is kamo shehi? No. He wants you to say she's beautiful. Okay. We're going to stop with Rabbi Feldman now because I want to go to the points that Shandy made. This does not go here. I want to go to the points that Shandy made because it's actually the lesson a day that I prepared. So it's very practical matzias. But we did, Baruch Hashem, finish the chapter. Okay, don't forget the lesson on literally and how we started. How could a person be so oblivious to what he is actually saying? You're saying something all the time. How could you say I didn't even know I said it? Okay, there we go. Psychological and emotional damage. An important area of speech, which is considered constructive, is that which helps to relieve someone of psychological or emotional damage caused by others. So let's say a person is psychologically or emotionally damaged. This is the psalm I quote from Rav Weitz very often. It is permissible for anyone suffering emotionally or psychologically to seek appropriate help, even if this involves discussion of people and events that would otherwise be lashon hara. If possible, names should be omitted. Right? So if you can have the same emotional support and the rebuilding of your character without mentioning names, then you should do so. Only pertinent information should be shared, which is exactly what Rav Weiss told us. Rav Weitz said, it shouldn't be hearsay. What you know, in fact, to be true, do not embellish or exaggerate the facts at all. The Chafetz Chaim speculates it may be considered constructive for a person troubled by an issue to unburden himself to someone, even if it's only to relieve stress. That's what Rav Weitz said. The question was to a close confidant, to a spouse, to a best friend. And I'm going to a psychologist. It's clear that if you're seeking professional help, you may tell who it is, try to leave out the names, and definitely don't embellish the facts. But for psychological and emotional damage, you may seek help. It is not considered lashon hara. Again, Rav Weitz said you have to be objective and you have to be honest, and you're not going on a slander campaign. You need help. That's a different matzav. The Chafetz Chaim goes further to say, a person troubled, this is so practically shayach. Don't take any piska halacha here and start saying you can go talk to 10 neighbors. Do you understand? Be very careful. That's not what the Chafetz Chaim is saying. That's not what Rabbi Weitz is saying. If you have a close person who you know can alleviate your stress, try and leave out the names. Don't exaggerate. You may speak to them. It's very shayach. The Chafetz Chaim speculates it may be considered constructive for a person, I'm repeating, troubled by an issue to unburden himself to someone, even if only to relieve himself of stress. Obviously, this applies to difficult situations and not the everyday goings on of life. So again, you have to use your seichel. You have to be a seicheldik person. Just like you have to know what Hashem wants you to say, that's emes, and what Hashem doesn't want you to say, like that story from Barbara Bloom. How could an artist stand up? This boy's life was ruined. He ultimately died. He could paint with his mouth. And he had the chutzpah to stand in front of a room full of people at the art gallery and say that his paintings were worthless. It's sheker. MS maybe. Truth maybe. In English. But definitely not MS of Torah. How much does the Shem want you to speak MS? Chazal say, Chosmo shall kalish baruch hu MS. The seal of God is MS. If you look at the Aleph base, the 22 letters which created the Torah, the first letter is Aleph. The middle letter is Mem. Where do you think we're going with this? Mem. The final letter, Taf. The seal of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the seal of the whole Torah is MS. It is permissible to speak negatively, one more halacha, about someone who is guilty of verbal abuse in order to comfort his victim. This is also, unfortunately, very shayach. There are, unfortunately, as hard as we work, there are, unfortunately, many instances of verbal abuse. If you have to comfort the victim, the pain and humiliation caused by insulting speech can be minimized by pointing out to the victim the perpetrator lacks intelligence or discretion, no one takes him seriously, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Normally that would be lashon hara to say about somebody else, they're stupid, no one takes him seriously, don't worry, they lack discretion. You can't go around saying that. If the person is really suffering, as a victim of a lashing, I mean a verbal lashing, or an attack, emotionally scarred, you may comfort them by speaking negatively. In other words, you're trying to make them realize that there's no truth, that there's no validity, there's no nobility in what that person did. At a later point in time, it would be important to help the victim understand the nature and the problems of the perpetrator. He can learn how to deal with this person and prevent recurrence of such incidents. Okay? So that's why I said hold your thought, because is it lashon hara? And the question, the answer is, it's really not. If a person has to unburden themselves to a close confidant, it was nice to come up to this at this point, because we've seen it in Rabbi Weitz before, it is not considered lashon hara. And in fact, the person is allowed to speak about whoever harmed them, and the listener is allowed to accept in order to help. Right? Okay, so about Ezra's Hashem, we should be zocha perhaps to always have before us that one who speaks lashon hara, there are three different opinions. The Gemara says he should be thrown to the dogs. The Chofetz Chaim says he is like the dogs. And the Maharal and Rav Shem followers say he is even worse than the dogs. Akel tashlichun osal, right after lo tisa shema shaf. Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, ladies, we shall allow siyata d'shmaya. Say questions or comments?
Nope.
Okay, thank you, everybody.